Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S. My friend Brad Herta, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle, and how is your Friday afternoon here in mid to late October?
It is excellent. It is cool. It is crisp. It is raining. Perfect Midwest weather.
Perfect. No rain here, partly cloudy, but it's going to get really effing cold tonight. So winter is
perfect.
Rearing its ugly head.
Perfect. So. It is perfect. So, well, today on the show, Brad.
Yep.
Who do we have today on the show?
Today on the show, we are honored and pleased to have our first Gen Z guest, who I happen to go back a ways. He's part of the robotics team that I was so fortunate to mentor. Great young gentleman who has completed his education and is now a productive member of society, Mr. Eric Thompson.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for letting us twist your arm and baiting you into showing up.
Yeah. So before we get started, Eric, we always ask everybody the same question. Which generation do you best fit in with?
Technically by year. I'm the first year Gen Z. I'm not really sure if I fit in there, but I also don't think I fit in with millennials that well. I'm kind of in a gray zone. I'm sure that everyone right on the edge of two generations feels.
Yes, you're in the circle of the friend zone, so to speak, shall we say.
Yep. Oh, but by year, I am the first year of Gen Z.
That's right. Well,
get to welcome our first Gen Zer on the show. So welcome.
Thank you.
So, Eric, obviously we've known each other for a few years now, right? Good or bad?
Yep.
Good for me, maybe not so good for you.
That's been good.
Well, thank you. Walk us through kind of your exposure to trade skills, things, what your journey was like through robotics, and then how you decided maybe to get down down your educational path post high school.
Starting out when I was young, I've always wanted to know how stuff worked. Love taking stuff apart. Pretty much the story of any engineer. I'm not always going to say I was the best at putting it back together.
There's the key.
Great at taking stuff apart. So enjoyed that and then got to high school, found out they had a robotics program, decided to join and went into the machining and design role there. So got to learn how to use mills, lathes, any mechanical thing you see in the machine shop. I didn't do any of the CNC type stuff. But that got me real interested in engineering through talking through a couple of the mentors in robotics. I figured out I wanted to do engineering, applied to a couple different schools, ended up going to UW Stout for mechanical engineering. Was there for 4 years, graduated 2019 in mechanical engineering, their first year. So I'm the first year of Stout's mechanical engineering program. And then I
got a ton of firsts going on here, Eric.
Oh, a ton of firsts. So got a job right out of college, got laid off during all the fun COVID stuff, and now I'm currently at my second job over at Fury Filter and Pump, and I'm technically an application engineer there, so part mechanical engineering, part inside sales.
Awesome. Does Fury, do they have their own shop? Do they produce their own goods and services, or is it all outsourced?
Yep. We do almost everything in shop. So we're a large-scale pump supplier, so we do anything from just supplying like all the CNC pumps at Harley Davidson, but we also do a lot of oil and gas, a lot of dairy, things like that. So we'll build out full pump skids, any of the pumping needs that you may have, we can help with. So we got projects in the Bahamas, we got projects across the US, anywhere and everywhere in between that involves a pump.
Does your robotics experience and the exposure that you had to, you know, making things, creating things, working from a print and making chips, has that helped you at all in your communications or environment at your current role, going back and forth on the floor from a design and application perspective?
Yep. So I still do sometimes design at my job more often than not. I'm creating quotes and things like that, but I still do use SolidWorks at work and draw up all my own designs if I need to, if the other side's busy. So having that knowledge, I actually learned how to CAD model in high school and then learned clearly a little bit more in college. But that's just what started my interest in, a little, tiny bit. But that's what started it. But I would say the thing that's helped me more than knowing how to machine, knowing how to design, is what I learned in robotics was how we use the bill of materials, how to track the stages of progression through the build, and just the documentation side. It is what I use, I would say, a lot more, because while I am inside sales, I do project manage my own projects. So making sure everything's ordered, everything's on time, working through it like that.
Take me back, because obviously you and Brad have a history like in robotics. So
yes,
take our listeners
back. Who do I look like?
Whatever.
No idea.
Yeah, okay.
Not me.
So take us back. Take our listeners back to when you were in the robotics, the high school robotics, working on things with your hands. What was the moment that kind of clicked for you that said, this is what I want to be doing?
I would just say it was day in, day out of working on the lathe. That's mostly what I did. And I was just building parts, and it got repetitive, tiring. You're like, really, kind of, what's the point of this? And then once the parts were made and you got to start assembling the robot itself, seeing that all the work you put in beforehand, it's finally coming together. You're building a whole machine. And then after you're done, you look at it and you're like, we built that. That was just a pile of raw stock beforehand. We designed all the parts. We machined all the parts ourselves, and then we assembled it all. And now we got a full working robot that we get to go compete with. It was that scene going from thoughts in our heads and brainstormings to getting raw stock to machining all of that. The whole process of being able to watch it all come together is, I think, what inspired me to go the mechanical engineering route.
Cool. And so how is that expertise and knowledge that you learned there, how has that transpired into kind of like where you are today? And then the second part is where you want to be tomorrow.
So I would just say the basic knowledge is learn machining, learn to be more organized. I'm still not going to say I am the most organized person, but learn how to be organized. And I have my own system that works. Haven't dropped anything yet bad, so we're still doing good. But the organization, everything like that, it kind of just set me up for my job now. I have to follow through. Well, in high school, it was just one project you had. Now I'm running multiple projects, working on different things every day. I mean, just being able to keep everything straight and being able to have that basic knowledge of beforehand, that was, if you can handle one project, eventually you'll learn to step up through a couple of more. So right. I would say it was just that base level, learn the basics, get that all down, and then you can build on top of that, add more and add more. So, I mean, when I started my job here, I was only working on one, two projects at a time, and now I can be working on anywhere 8, 9, keep them all flowing pretty well. So like anything else, you get that base level in and you'll be better set up for the future. And where I want to be, I mean, right now I'm still only a year and a half in at this job, so I can't really say that I'm even beginning to scratch the surface of everything I can do, but I'm just going to try to keeping my head down, get the work done, make sure nothing falls through the cracks. And I think that's really the most important thing for me right now.
Right. Okay. So with the current employment that you have, obviously you're one of the younger in the workforce.
Yep.
How is that experience going, being younger in the workforce? Like from a, let's just talk from a, like a communication standpoint with your peers.
So I am the youngest at my company right now. But overall, it's not really been that big of an issue. Clearly, you're going to have some of the stuff. It's really the biggest thing that I found is it's whether or not the older generation is willing to teach. I have been lucky that I've had really good people at my work that have been willing to take me under their wing. Like, clearly they have a lot of the knowledge that I do not have yet. They've been in the industry 30, 40 years. And I came in no knowledge of the pumping applications industry. So them being willing to take the time and introduce me to it has been the biggest thing. I mean, clearly you're always going to have some small issues, whether it's Zoom calls and you're trying to get everyone on it. You have 15 people on a Zoom call and 7 people can't be heard and 2 people are, they just got random static in the background. But I mean, like, all that's able to be worked through. That's not an issue. So
that's hilarious. Technology is sometimes not your friend. I get it. It is different. As you've entered the workforce, even previous employments and through your internships and different things, was there a sense of, hey, you belong here, you're wanted, or was it some of the places more of a, yeah, you're just the kid that just came in the door, you don't know shit, so just leave me alone and go file that paper or make that drawing? Was there any of that at all?
There's been some of each. I mean, it is hard to get really into the workflow while you're on an internship. You're on I did 2 3-month internships in college. So it's really hard to integrate yourself into a working environment when you're only there for 3 months. You know you're going to be gone and they know you're going to be gone. So it's like, how much time are you really going to invest in someone when it's not really going to pay off in 3 months? Because working now, I've been working for a year and a half, 3 months doesn't seem like anything, and I've only been in it for a little bit, so I can only imagine people that are in it 20, 30 years. Every summer you get a new kid coming in. I mean, how much time are you really going to spend with each kid? But since I've been at Fury Filter and Pump, everybody's been willing. I mean, the hardest part was when I was hired on, we had a lack of people, and just at that time, the higher-ups couldn't spend 2-3 hours teaching me how to do something. So it was kind of thrown into the deep end. And I mean, I learned through it, but now that we're more, we have more people there, we're able to spend more time with each people. So I've had a couple, there's 9 or 10 people hired since me in the last year and a half.
Wow.
And as we get more, each person is getting better because we're able to spend more time. We're not so pushed for time on each thing. We're able to spend more time building up their skills before kind of throwing them into everything.
Okay. How much time do you get to go out on the floor and learn and see or talk to the gentleman on the floor about, can we make this application work? Can we make it more efficient? Can we find a way to do it maybe for less to create more margin opportunities? You know, some of those things back from Robotics, we had a budget, but we didn't necessarily care. I mean, I believe you worked on one of the bill of material cost sheet was 1 year. Wasn't a big deal. But now that you're in real life and adulting, that those things now matter. How's that interaction been in the organization? And has it been open arms or not?
So my first couple of weeks there, I spent the entire time on the floor learning basically how to assemble pump skids, motor assemblies, things like that. So I just got a base of like, hey, this is everything you're going to need when you start quoting. I mean, every pump's got to have, obviously, the pump, the motor, the coupling guard, the couplings, the base plate, and all the bolts and everything you need on that aspect. So learning everything I needed beforehand was good. So when I was eventually building up my PMU, it wouldn't be that I was forgetting major components. But as of making stuff more efficient and margin, I build up a quote, got everything in there, and it kind of doesn't really change that often for me. A lot of our stuff is spec-based, so it's not like, hey, I can switch out this for a different thing. I mean, I work a lot in oil and gas right now, and oil and gas, it's explosion-proof. Like, you don't get a just substitute out. I can't substitute a random motor in, like... Right. They're willing to pay for making it right, but it's not like I can be like, hey, there's this new experimental thing that one of our vendors has, and let's just try it in this application. I mean, most of the time.
Space. Yeah. It just leaks fuel. No big deal.
It's fine. It's fine.
It'll be okay.
Just have all this jet fuel spilling on the ground. Don't worry about it. But most of the time when I do have to go on, onto the floor. It's just following up with projects, or it's that something went wrong. I mean, we get base plates in from one of our vendors. Something isn't machined correctly. It's going in trying to figure out different solutions to still get it out on time. So whether that's putting in threaded inserts and changing our bolts from one size down to another, just so we can still get everything out. That's more so when I'm out on the floors fixing the problems.
But when you walk on the floor, are you received on the floor as a, hey, you're a member of this team? Or is it more of the, I guess I'm trying to get to, has your experience in robotics and being able to know what the equipment's doing and how metal works and all the things you were able to experience, have you been able to leverage that to be received on the floor or not just, well, I don't know what a screwdriver is, so therefore the guys aren't even going to talk to you, right? Potentially?
Yep. So I'm not sure if I consciously am like putting off something that knows that I know how to work on or tooling, but I feel like people that are out in the shop, they're very able or very quickly able to tell whether you have a baseline knowledge of easy mechanics, how stuff works, whether you can look at something and figure out what's missing. I mean, they've been doing it how long? Some guy comes in and they look at something, they're standing there, have no idea. They can quickly tell when you don't know anything about it versus when you go in and have some baseline knowledge of how stuff gets put together. If you see something get taken apart, like that was my first couple of weeks, can you put it back together? So
your
I helped take apart an entire pump. Yeah, putting it back together. Learn that. But just, I would say they are very quickly able to tell, and that does give you some credibility. So when I go out on the floor, I mean, they're able to talk to me in a more high level than some people, I would say. I go out there, they explain what the problem is, and I'm able to work through it with them rather than them just more so telling me, hey, this is what's wrong. This is exactly what we need. I can go out and help a little bit with it and then work together on a better solution.
Okay. So they never sent you running off to go get the filter bearings?
No board stretchers, no filter bearings, none of that stuff, no.
No elbow grease?
No left-handed screwdrivers, no.
No, the yeah. Metric flathead. Don't forget the metric flathead.
Yep, the good old metric one, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are good. Those were such good times. Sorry, I'm reminiscing now. All the hazing. Good stuff.
Luckily, they've been very helpful, so I haven't been sent on any random quests.
Well, careful what you ask for. Once they hear this, that's you never right. know.
You never know.
So, what is like one thing I'm always interested to hear. What is the one thing that you found to be the most interesting thing since joining like a corporate style or business style company coming in right out of school?
I didn't realize how much background stuff goes into everything, whether it's accounting, whether it's following up. Like in robotics, I needed something, we would buy it from McMaster, it would show up 3 days later and you wouldn't have to worry about it. The amount of time and planning that goes behind everything, especially how long spec sheets can be. Got a spec sheet the other day, it was like 1,000 pages long. I'm like, what is this? And clearly it's a spec sheet for the whole project and I only have to worry about some of the pages, but I didn't realize how much red tape was tied up all the way around. Once the volume of scale, so my company is owned by a larger company, Ohio Transmission Corporation, and just how much has to go on the back end of just cutting POs, making sure everything gets out, making sure you're not on hold, making sure the customers are paying you. Just that, all the background that like I didn't really think about when I was in high school, it was, hey, we got a credit card for the group. You type in what you need, it comes through. But all that back end stuff that I never really saw, it's exhausting.
This is why my head looks like this, Eric.
Yeah, fair enough. I try to stay out of the accounting. I try to let them know, hey, this is what's going on. But like, we got purchasing, we got all of that. And I am very thankful for them. And I kind of just, I'm like, this is what I need. You do your stuff. I'll keep taking care of my stuff. And they're very good about it. When they do have an issue, they come to me. But overall, I am not trying to dive into that realm.
That's good. I don't want to see you in accounting. I don't think that would be good for anybody. So what would, so for the, you know, there's a generation behind you, right? The Gen Alpha, they're the 6 to 11. They're like the 11-year-old and younger crowd right now, 12, soon to be in high school. And even maybe some of the younger kids that are in high school today to the tail end of your generation. What would you tell them? What advice would you give them about being open to working with their hands or being involved in making things versus the technology side of things? What would you tell them that was the good things about it to propel or help you in your daily life?
I mean, I think everyone should just learn how to do basic work with their hands. I'm not saying you got to know how to disassemble an engine, but know how to use drills, know what tools are called, know how to do basic stuff. I mean, there's so much stuff even around the house that I end up doing, putting up shelves, whether it's that or fixing the sink if you need to fix something. Just having a base knowledge of how tools work and what how stuff can go together, how to take it apart. It's not just helping you in your job. It'll help you all the way through. So I think everyone should have at minimum a basic toolkit and a good drill. I know a lot of people, I went and helped my sister hang pictures. I go there and she has a little Walmart carrying pouch that has the purple tools. And I'm like,
oh, this is cute. This is cute.
Just get a decent, like, I'm not even, go on Amazon, buy a random cheap toolbox, fill it with some cheap Harbor Freight tools. I'm not saying you need to spend a lot of money, but I feel like everyone should have a couple of decent tools and then know how to work with your hands a little bit. It's so applicable in everything you do, whether it's changing a tire, whether it's putting up shelves or fixing higher end stuff once you get on or get future on in life. But just learn a little bit how to work with your hands. I mean, clearly my generation is great at computers. And why is that? Because we're surrounded by computers all day, every day.
Right.
So you'll see 2-year-olds on iPads. So it's not surprising that we're better at computers than a lot of other generations, but like anything else, it's a skill you need to work on.
Come on.
In general, we have a better baseline knowledge.
Yeah, right. We expect these, you know, these young whippersnappers to pick on you, the boomer, Brad.
Yeah. So,
but like anything else, it's a skill. So
right.
You got to work on it.
And skills are learned, right?
Yeah. So and you're not going to be good at it at the beginning. Just like how the older generation, once they started learning computers, they weren't great at it right away. It's correct. A skill. You gotta get there.
Correct. As you have gone through and looked at, went through school, made those connections, got out into the workforce, how much planning or thought went into your, when you got to Fury Pump, Filter and Pump, how much of the, hey, this company does these things, they make really cool things, really things that keep America and the world running. How much of that played into your decision-making to join there versus other organizations or that may not have been as clear in their messaging or direction?
For me, my first job was at MGS Tooling, which is just down the road from where I am now, and theirs was all the cool stuff you dreamed about while you were in college. I would be working on robotic end of arm tools is what I was designing there. You always wanted to do automation. You wanted to do robotics. You wanted to do the new high end stuff. Coming with that, there's a lot of challenges. Not everything's already laid out. Oil and gas pumping. It's a decades old business and it's very well established. So after I was let go from there, I realized that while the new interesting thing is cool, is fun to work on, it also comes with a lot of headaches. You have to figure out new solutions. You're kind of the first going into that application. And just coming out of college, I didn't feel like I had a good enough base to really excel at that. I didn't know enough about the industry in general. So going in for my second job, it really wasn't as much about what they were doing. For me especially, I was looking for what benefits came with it. Clearly, I was getting off my parents' health care, so I needed good 401k, good insurance, good That it was more so looking for a good job where I could support myself and make plans for my future. So I'm going to want to buy a house at some point. I'm going to want to buy a truck at some point. So for me, it really wasn't as much about what they were doing as well as how I could improve my situation in life. But I got lucky. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I've had some great people helping me along the way at the company. And while oil and gas and pumping applications have been there for how long, I mean, you're still every once in a while going to get a new application. You're going to have something that's going wrong. You still get to scratch that engineering itch there is of solving problems and everything else. It's not like just because it's an older industry, nothing's going to need to fix. Nothing's going to ever happen that's going to need solutions. I thought going in, it's just going to be like, well, here's the same cookie cutter thing we're selling you for every time, but that's not how it is at all.
Okay. So if some of your contemporaries and others in the you know, podcast listening world would want to reach out to you to either learn more about your journey or opportunities that might exist at Fury as what life is like, hey, would it be a good fit for them? How do people find you or get a hold of you, or what would be a good place for them to connect with you?
I have a LinkedIn that I gave you the website to.
Right.
I never go on Facebook. I'm rarely on Instagram. I don't have any of really that's well, I have that social media, but I am not often on that social media. You will not see me posting any of there. But if you get the LinkedIn, I'm not going to say I check it religiously, as Brad knows.
Yes, that is correct. It's getting better. It's getting better.
It's getting better. I'm learning that when I was back in high school, I started my LinkedIn and I didn't really realize how powerful it was. And I'm slowly figuring that out. So It's kind of like Facebook for another generation. You're learning, but it's all professional. It's a professional Facebook.
Oh.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, awesome.
I like it. That's funny.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Eric, very much for your insights today. Definitely thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you were baited into this and were willing to do it. And I do appreciate it. I do appreciate our relationship. I'm very excited for what your career has to offer. I think you're in a fantastic role to fulfill your needs and opportunities going forward. And, I would agree with you that taking it apart is better than putting it back together for you. And, but that problem solving piece that you work on right now today in that current role is one of the things that you were really good at. And I think you got a really good fit right now and they're really lucky to have you. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on today.
All right, man. Have a good day. Thanks.
See you guys.
See ya
later.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS. Brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.